Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
The Behind the Arc podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. I appreciate you checking out Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1, thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc. A lot to get to in this edition of the podcast, recapping the NBA draft for Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, as Tennessee had a pair of players taken in the first round of the NBA draft for just the second time in school history, and then a third former Tennessee Vol found an NBA destination as well later on in the evening. The SEC basketball schedule has been released, so Tennessee at least knows its opponents and which ones it will have to play twice. Tennessee also made an addition earlier this week to its 2021 recruiting class. Just when you thought it was about time for Tennessee to be focusing solely on 2022, Tennessee gets a late reclassification from a local prospect. We'll discuss all of that and more here on the Behind the Arc podcast. We'll start in the NBA draft. Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer both taken in the first round, as expected, a little later than initially thought. Keon Johnson going 21st overall to the Knicks. That pick ultimately went to the Clippers. So going to the Clippers through the Knicks at 21st overall is Keon Johnson, was considered the fifth-ranked shooting guard in this class, the 11th rated overall prospect, but falls all the way to 21, was thought to be a potential lottery pick, at times a potential top 10 pick, but is expected to be a two-way wing at the next level. That's evident by the fact that he's incredibly athletic. He's got great explosiveness, as we saw during the combine with him setting the combine record for the vertical jump. He's got a great first step in the open court, and of course we know what he can do defensively. So some of the improvement areas that we're seeing from scouts, wanting to see him get bigger, stronger, and wanting to increase his offensive game. And that was an area where, for Johnson, that you'd like to see him kind of progress, is being able to be more of a scoring threat. And if that happens, then I think all of that playmaking on defense, that team-first mentality, will go really well for Keon Johnson at the next level. Again, going to the Knicks in a pick that was originally from Dallas, and then that pick being traded to the Clippers. The Clippers traded into number 21 to select Keon Johnson with the 21st pick, and then the Knicks moved down from number 21 to number 25. And so with Johnson going to the Clippers, an organization that has had a little bit of success, you're not going to a place that's in a total rebuild mode. I know Kawhi Leonard is expected to miss all of next season, but there is still at least an opportunity for Johnson to step in and be a contributor on both ends of the floor. And so for Keon Johnson, obviously his athleticism, his lateral movement, his defense, how aggressive he is, how committed he is on the floor, I think a lot of really positive things here. I think the Clippers are getting a good one. I'm really excited about where Jaden Springer ended up. He got taken with the 28th overall pick to the Sixers, was the 29th rated overall prospect, though a lot of mock drafts had him going in the top 25, at one point being a top 20 pick. And it's easy to make fun of the Sixers because this whole trust the process and how they keep having disappointing finishes in the postseason. But there's a good team there, and Doc Rivers is a really good coach, I think, for a rookie to go to. And when you're Jaden Springer, are there some things that need to be developed? Yes, but for a pretty good-sized point guard at 6'4", 204 pounds, a guy who is considered to be a really good finisher at the net, very athletic, bulldog-type defender who is willing to put, you know, his nose to the hardwood and really get gritty with how he has to play. And you saw that while he was at Tennessee. I think Springer could be a guy that really does fit in. And he was a great three-point shooter, shot 44% from three-point range for Tennessee. Now, didn't shoot a lot of threes. And he plays a very unselfish style of basketball. Is it too unselfish at times? And I think those are some of the things that need to get sorted out. Again, really young guy. NBA teams like that. They prefer to get these guys younger. If they have a preference, obviously they'll take the best player on the board who they think is the best fit for their system. But most NBA general managers, most NBA front office staffs prefer to get guys younger and earlier in their college careers as opposed to guys that have played college basketball for three or four seasons. They like to get those guys younger. 18 years old, still one of the youngest prospects in the draft, is Jaden Springer. But a lot of versatility and a lot of different things that he can do for you that really help on the box score. So I think for Springer, he fits right into that brand of basketball that Philly wants to play, where he's willing to be physical on both ends of the floor, is willing to drive, can take outside shots, and can defend really well. So very excited for Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, both taken in the first round of the NBA draft last night. Just the second time that has happened in school history for Tennessee to have two players taken in the first round of the NBA draft. The last time it happened, was the Ernie and Bernie year. So just remarkable to be able to see this happen again, a big milestone. Now three first-round draft picks for Tennessee in the last 3 years, five draft picks overall, and seven players that have either been drafted or signed to as an undrafted free agent. Kyle Alexander, of course, signed as an undrafted free agent to the Miami Heat, ultimately signed a two-way contract. Eve Pons, it looks like he's going to get a summer league deal with the Grizzlies. He made it official later on Friday. He posted a picture of himself on Instagram in a Grizzlies uniform. So Eve Pons, staying in Tennessee, is going to head west and try to compete through summer ball for a spot on the Memphis Grizzlies roster. So big news for Tennessee, and we know what that does in recruiting for the Volunteers. And it's one thing to see it because there are a number of programs that have done things like this over the course of the last couple of years. Vanderbilt had a pair of players drafted last year. Mississippi State had two players drafted last year. It doesn't necessarily suggest the state of the program. Obviously, programs like Duke and Kentucky are used to having players taken. Michigan is used to having players taken in the draft. Gonzaga, schools like that. But for Tennessee, it's been able to sustain a certain level of success while still churning out players into the next level. And you have Josiah Jordan James, who with his athleticism and his size, his build, I think there's a good chance that he ends up drafted as well. When he was coming out of high school, he was projected as a first-round pick, as a one-and-done guy. Now he's getting ready to go into his junior year. Injuries have played a role in that, but if Rick Barnes is able to get him to progress to a point where he's back in the draft conversation, whether it's after this season or the following season, that's more recruiting material that Rick Barnes can use. It's not just a matter of getting one-and-done guys to come in and then get to the next level. You've now seen a variety of different draft picks. You've seen two one-and-done players in the last 3 years. You've seen two guys get drafted after 3 years in college, and you've seen a four-year player go from being overweight and out of shape, as Admiral Schofield would have called himself when he first arrived at Tennessee, to being a second-round draft pick. So you are seeing guys get taken at the next level, and again, Grant Williams, Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, three first-round picks from Tennessee in the last 3 years. So Rick Barnes, a lot of recruiting prowess that he's going to be able to add on the recruiting trail. It's not just a conversation about LaMarcus Aldridge and Kevin Durant. It's putting guys consistently into the NBA, and that's big news for Tennessee. So how does that impact recruiting moving forward? But also, what is the recruiting news as of late? Just when you thought Tennessee was done with the 2021 recruiting class, surprise, surprise, in a week that was full of news about conference expansion, Major League Baseball trade deadlines, the Olympics, Tennessee got an announcement on the recruiting trail for this upcoming season. We'll discuss that next right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. So just when you thought Tennessee was done with the class of 2021 and that it was time to move on to 2022 with what was a really good recruiting class ranked in the top five, you had five commitments and a transfer. So you had six newcomers overall. Justin Powell, of course, the three-star point guard out of Auburn, who only got to play 10 games last year due to dealing with some concussion issues. But you had a really solid core. You had two five-star guys that had already enrolled in Kennedy Chandler and Brandon Hundley Hatfield. You had a four-star center in Jodius Adu. You had Jemai Meshack, the four-star small forward, a three-star out of Montverde Academy, Quentin Dibunji, who at Montverde Academy, again, just last night, had four players taken in the first round of the NBA draft
from their 2019 squad. So a year after all those guys are having to go through their one and done season, they're taken in the NBA draft. So anytime you get somebody out of Montverde Academy, even a three-star guy, he's going to be used to having played some really high quality basketball. And then earlier this week, Hanji Tamba, a 7-foot center out of nearby Knoxville Catholic High School, committed to Tennessee, one of the top 10 players in the state. He committed and then reclassified. So his intention was to join Tennessee for the upcoming season, and the Vols later did announce that he had signed. So he has signed his letter of intent, and 7 feet, just 225 pounds, needs to fill out a little bit more. We have seen big men do that, though, well at Tennessee, hence Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, and maybe a three-star forward isn't something that gets you super excited, but when you consider that Hanji Tamba might be the sixth best player in the class, he's the sixth highest ranked player in the class out of six guys, that goes to show the depth that you have with your recruiting class. Tennessee now moved up from number 4 to number 2 in the national recruiting rankings, the top class in the SEC, one of just three schools to have six commitments for the class of 2021. Now, Tennessee technically has seven newcomers because of Justin Powell, but one of three schools, along with Michigan, which has the number 1 class, and Arizona State, to have six commitments. And Tennessee's got some really good ones. The number 2 class in the country, including a pair of 5 stars, 2 4-stars, 2 3-stars, and a 3-star transfer. It's a really good haul for Tennessee in the class of 2021. So Hanji Tamba out of nearby Knoxville Catholic, and that's the second Knoxville Catholic commitment for Tennessee basketball this offseason, with BJ Edwards, the class of 2022, announcing his intention to attend the University of Tennessee. And that's a nice pickup for the Volunteers as well for Rick Barnes. That's just the one commitment, but he is a 4-star point guard out of Knoxville Catholic High School, considered a top 100 prospect in the country, the 3rd overall prospect in the state of Tennessee. So giving Rick Barnes a nice start for the class of 2022. And I guarantee you, Tennessee is not done yet for that recruiting class. So Hanji Tamba adds some size. You've got a well-balanced class here. You've got some bigs with the 6'9 Hunley Hatfield, the 6'11 Adu. You've got a couple of wing players with Meshack and Dabunji, 6'5 and 6'6 respectively. Of course, Tamba is a center at 7 feet tall. You've got backcourt pieces with Kennedy Chandler at 6'1 and then Justin Powell coming in as a 6'5 point guard. So it really is spread around evenly with the size that Tennessee is bringing in terms of its new players this year. And so for Tennessee to be able to implement all that young talent with some returning pieces in both the front court and the back court is going to be really important, because you have John Fulkerson coming back. You have Olivier Kumwa, who's played a couple of seasons. And then in the back court, you have Santiago Vescovi, Josiah Jordan-James, Victor Bailey Jr. You have pieces back there. It's really encouraging where Tennessee's roster is at right now. And I'm not willing to say that this team will be as deep as the one last year, but that team last year that Desmond Oliver was talking about being the deepest they've ever had really was focused on the backcourt. It was heavy backcourt depth. And the expectation was that Pons and Fulkerson were going to be able to carry the front court. And it just wasn't the case for Fulkerson as much. And Pons didn't develop offensively as much as you hoped that he would. So I think moving into this season, you're going to need some young guys to step up, and you're going to need them to fill roles and do some things that are fairly significant. But the pressure is not all on them. And that's really helpful for Tennessee. In addition, Kennedy Chandler, Tennessee's 5-star point guard, the top point guard in the class of 2021, has signed a 5-figure NIL deal with Wildcard, a trading card company that includes signing autographs, training cards, memorabilia. It is the second Tennessee basketball NIL deal to be reported, because no surprise to anybody, John Fulkerson struck up a deal with Pal's Sudden Service, the fast food restaurant based in the Tri-Cities. And it was Jonathan Gavoni of Draft Express that reported that Kennedy Chandler would be using a 5-figure NIL deal. Gavoni, who is a draft analyst for ESPN, has projected that Chandler will be a lottery pick in next year's draft. So newcomers coming in for Tennessee, Kennedy Chandler expected to do big things this season for Tennessee and expected to cash in as a result of being able to sign a 5-figure name, image, and likeness deal with Wildcard. And he had disclosed that he had some interest from the G League, but opted to go to college. thanks to name, image, likeness, he's going to be able to make some money in the process as well while he's playing for Rick Barnes at Tennessee. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the Behind the Arc podcast next right here. You're listening to Behind the Arc. Tennessee got its full SEC conference schedule for the upcoming basketball season. Now, the dates and times and TV channels, all of that still has to be figured out. So that is not known. But Tennessee at least knows who it's going to be playing and who it's going to be playing twice. Kentucky, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt are the usual suspects, the three teams that Tennessee faces twice every single season in a home and home. So Tennessee will head to Rupp Arena, they'll head to Memorial, they'll head to Columbia, and they'll get all three of those teams at Thompson Bowling Arena over the course of the season as well. In addition, Tennessee will get LSU and Arkansas. Now, that Arkansas series is really interesting. Both of those are actually really good opponents for Tennessee. That's going to help out the strength of schedule. It's going to help out the analytics. It's going to boost you overall. So it's a really nice schedule overall for Tennessee. Not really sure what all South Carolina is doing for you. Let's see if Frank Martin can get some more out of his guys this year and try to bounce back a little bit. Vanderbilt's got to start showing that it can win under Jerry Stackhouse. Kentucky is Kentucky. I think they'll bounce back in a big way. And Arkansas and LSU, I think, are solid. LSU's losing a ton of talent. Cameron Thomas was taken in the first round of the NBA draft, but Will Wade still has some talent there. And then Arkansas, yes, losing Moses Moody. Eric Musselman has shown that he's doing some really good things over there. It was really solid second season for him in Fayetteville. The complete home SEC schedule for Tennessee is Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt, which means Tennessee will go to Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, Missouri, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. So Tennessee, of course, had the home and home with Missouri last year, was one of the teams that it had to rotate in on. Tennessee won the game at Columbia to start SEC play and then lost the game back at home. So Tennessee will head to Missouri next season. And for the Vols, all about trying to utilize its strength of schedule, because the bulk of its non-conference schedule has a lot of pull here, not just from a regional perspective, but from a national one. You've got UT Martin set for November 9th, ETSU set for November 14th. Then you get to the Hall of Fame tip-off tournament at the Mohegan Sun Arena in Connecticut on November 20th. Tennessee will take on Villanova, and then the next day it'll face either North Carolina or Purdue, depending on the results of those two games involving those four teams. Then it kind of takes a bit of a break again from the blockbuster matchups. It gets Tennessee Tech on November 26th, Presbyterian on November 30th. It goes to Colorado on December 4th. So finishing the home and home from last season that Kim English had a big part in setting up. Then it gets Texas Tech in the Jimmy V Classic. Now, Chris Beard's not there anymore. So you've got Texas Tech without Chris Beard as Mark Adams took over, and obviously still a really good team that's still a name brand, I think, in basketball. Not as big as maybe obviously Duke or North Carolina or Villanova, but still with what Texas Tech has done under Chris Beard, even though he's not there anymore, that's still a program that people are going to have their eye on for the upcoming season. Then you've got the neutral site game at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville on December 18th against Memphis. You get Arizona on December 22nd. New head coach in Tommy Lloyd, the longtime former Gonzaga assistant under Mark Few. So a big brand in the Pac-12 in Arizona coming to Thompson Bowling Arena. Then on January 29th, in the midst of SEC play, you have Texas in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That is with Chris Beard, Rick Barnes finally going up against his former team. So the schedule's been announced. There's been recruiting news that's happened this week and a big recruiting boost, as a lot of high school kids that are being recruited by Rick Barnes right now watch Tennessee have two players taken in the first round of the NBA draft on Thursday night. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Behind the Arc podcast. Remember, you can hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating and review, and tell a college basketball fan you know about the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg at Joel Silverberg on Twitter. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on The Sports Animal.